Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of K-Bliss Heroes! I put a lot into that right there. But I believe this here is episode 16? Yeah, it's 16. But as we all know, you know, I'm not here by myself. Here, I'm a good man. My great man. Give it up for Anthony.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Anthony. What's up? It's your boy Anthony, a.k.a. Not That Dude, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Young Lando, a.k.a. your mom's second favorite podcast co-host. What's going on, dog?
All is great, but formerly known as the Young Lando?
Yeah, man.
Why are we now formerly the Young Lando?
Bro, I just turned 39. My hair is 80% gray. I'm probably just Lando. So you know what I mean? That's probably about where he was at the time of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So, you know, I think I can't call myself Lando because I'm not Lando, you know what I mean?
I feel you, but you will always be known as the artist formerly known as Young Lando, so continue, fly on, continue.
You know, I hope the moniker does well. I hope the moniker gets picked up by another young up-and-coming, strapping young lad, and they take it to the stratosphere, you know what I'm saying?
I feel as if there is a potential young lad that can definitely take on that moniker.
God willing, bro, God willing.
Other than that, I haven't seen you since the Note premiere. What has changed and transpired in the time since?
Well, if you must know, since Note premiered, I became a father.
Yes!
So that's first and foremost, you know. That's kind of a big deal.
One of the biggest deals of all time.
100%. I'm a father to the coolest kid ever. His name's Adonis.
Yes.
He's all over my socials. So if you ever happen to venture upon at Not That Dude on Instagram, you'll see pictures of my son. And then as far as career wise, I worked on a show called Waco: The Aftermath.
Ooh.
I also then followed that up with a run on Gran Turismo.
Okay.
Starring David Harbour, Archie, I can't say his last name, and Oliver Legolas Bloom himself.
Amen, brother.
Wait, did I say Oliver? I meant Orlando Bloom.
Shout out to young Orlando Bloom.
You know, my bad. It was an accident. There's a term for it. Mea culpa. It was a verbal mea culpa.
How is it like being a father?
Man, it's the coolest, most humbling, most stress-inducing, sleep-stealing, most rewarding, coolest, dopest experience I think any dude can have. Watching their son grow up, experience the world, watch them learn, pick up new things, watch them slowly but surely become their own little human beings. Man, that's the... Bro, people talk about purpose. Mm-hmm. That's purpose.
Purpose. Being a father, raising a child. So how old is he now?
He just turned one on the 19th of August, so he's actually 13 months today.
Happy belated birthday and happy 13th month, yay!
Yeah, when I see him, I'll make sure that he gets a high five from Benji the Great. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it. That was a real clap just now, actually.
Real clap it, soul clap it. I mean, we do them all.
And what do you mean by this whole sleep deprived thing? The closest thing I have to the bundle of joy of having a child is having cats and having my door kicked open at 5 a.m. because they want some food, or having someone hop on my head because fuck it, because I'm their property, or worst case scenario, waking up to pee. So,
well, see, to answer your question, man, sleep depravity is like with a kid, man, it's the shit that like you wake up to some cries or to some noise, and it's, I don't know, 2 a.m. You manage to subdue said noise, and you put little man back to sleep. An hour later, he wakes up because his diaper's wet, or he's hungry, or whatever. So you start to go back to sleep, and then you wake up an hour later. Then 2 hours later, you know, like there's, you know, Reggie makes a noise. It wakes him up. So then you got to put him back down again. You know, these are just examples, but you get used to operating on a sleep deficit, right?
Ah.
So you get used to working on 3-4 hours of sleep. Go to sleep at 11, wake up at 4, you know, wake up at 3, and then that's kind of when your day starts. Like you might take little naps from 3 to 6 when the day properly gets started, but you don't ever really get back to sleep. Like, you don't get another REM cycle. So, you know, I don't know the breakdown, but they say you get multiple REM cycles. You're supposed to get multiple REM cycles in an 8-hour window of sleep. Well, probably only get 1 or 2 REM cycles, you know, with the way I've been going.
All right. Are your dreams, like, elusive or crazy or like?
Nah, my dreams have never been crazy. They've always been pretty realistic. They've just been hella brief. You know what I mean? Like, just I don't remember them. I just know I was dreaming, because then like I wake up and I'm like, oh, that was a deep sleep, but then I really realize I slept for only 3 hours.
Oh, so you living on naps right now,
bro? It's I steal the sleep when I can, dude. I steal the sleep when I can.
Is it getting any better?
Oh man, yeah, absolutely. Like he's getting really regimented, and we've been doing. He's been going to daycare, so that's given us a little bit of time during the day to actually do something other than be a parent.
Ah, blessed be that. So since you have this young bundle of joy, and you were formerly known at the artist as Young Lando, when are you going to introduce him to the war? You know, the war in the stars.
Oh man, you talking about the conflict in a galaxy far, far away?
Galaxy far, far away. Long ago in a galaxy far, far away, one may say.
You know something? I feel like when he's talking, when he's able to have like recall, and like when the memory bank is like a thing, you know, which I've been told sometimes the memory bank hits as early as 2. But yeah, as soon as he's like able to like actually talk and interact and like be a part of that whole jam, then I think that's when I'll slowly introduce him to some Star Wars action.
You sound like a well-rounded, proper father teaching this young child, you know, its history and knowing how the world, the universe, and the galaxy itself operates. But yet, you know, we do have, if you want to go, you know, further, you know, we have 9 films in the
6. We have 6 films.
Okay, I mean, you won't say 6. No, on paper, there's 9. And then there's what? I think 3 more offshoots?
There's 6 films, and there's 3 really amazing books that round out the saga.
Now, we're referring to, let's say, Phantom, Clone, Revenge, Hope, Empire, Jedi?
Yep. We're talking the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. The sequel trilogy does not exist in my canon.
Amen, brother. I had the misfortune of losing 9 hours of my life that I will never regain. And whenever I think about those 9 hours of my life, I get the punchy. You know, I get really confused. I get really mad, and I usually see a couch, and I just get the punchy.
See, here's the thing. Here's my issue with the sequel trilogy, right? It feels so disjointed from Star Wars. It almost doesn't. In like the for example, Force Awakens was great. It was fine. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was cool. It was great to see Star Wars on the big screen. I actually really liked The Last Jedi.
Mm.
There was some stuff that I didn't like about it, but that, you know, you could say the same about any Star Wars, really.
Yeah.
Everyone acts like Star Wars is just like unimpeachable high art form, and it's not, right? Like, in Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker kisses Princess Leia, right? Oh, God. And then you find out that they're brother sister. That's awkward.
That is like top 10 best moments of all time. Just Leia smacking out her little brother or big brother. Him putting his arm behind his head like, yeah, that's right. Got me the bonus. Yes.
You know, so like, I mean, there's, and then Return of Jedi, you got the Ewoks, love them or hate them. Like, I read somewhere a long time ago that the planet was intended to be Kashyyyk.
Yes.
Which would have been a lot crazier if it's a bunch of Wookiees, you know, kicking ass. And that idea ended up, you know, surviving through to Revenge of the Sith. Star Wars has always had some quirky shit about it. So when I look at like a movie like The Last Jedi, and everyone talks about the fucking, you know, Luke Skywalker sucking the green milk or whatever, or, you know, the stupid casino planet, right? Like, there's always something like a little off kilter about
it's Star Wars.
I think that's what makes it Star Wars.
The reason why it went from being Wookiees to Ewoks is because Ewoks are way more marketable as plush toys. This was the time where Lucas was getting into the merchandise game. And the reason why it's also called Return of the Jedi instead of Revenge of the Jedi is George saved, I think, $900 by taking out that V, you know, the letter count for that. Also, the thing about Star Wars is we had a very lull period, you know, between the original trilogy and the prequels. And all that time, we had a whole bunch of amazing writers come in and write their own Star Wars story. And George was like, hey, man, sure, do your thing. And one of those great writers of the time was a great man, Timothy Zahn, gave us Thrawn.
You know how it was like, there's the first six, and then there's a trilogy of books? Mm-hmm. In my mind, Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy is the perfect episode 7, 8, 9. Disney had a layup, right? You adapt the Thrawn trilogy, you modernize it, you tweak some of the shit, but more or less, you keep the same stuff. Hey, you give Thrawn some force sensitivity, make it a little bit more interesting, make him a dark side user, I don't know. But you can make some tweaks here and there, whatever, right? You get rid of you tweak the Jorah Saboa character a little bit because he was a little weird. All they had to do was adapt that. You look at Marvel, right? Half the time, they take an existing comic and they adapt it, they modernize it, they tweak it with what the marketplace wants, with what they have on hand, with modern storytelling sensibilities, and they make it happen. The Winter Soldier. It wasn't a panel for panel breakdown, but they obviously did their homework and literally, you know, borrowed the story from the Winter Soldier and took one of the best arcs in comics and made it arguably the best MCU film.
Got two directors that care about the material as well. Writers that actually sat down and said, let's take our time and effort with this bad boy.
But I, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is on record saying they don't have a sandbox to borrow from. They didn't have a sandbox to borrow from like Marvel did, which is complete bull junk in the famous words of Coach Prime.
We had a 20-year period of random stories that you can just like pick and take from. Hell, like look what Dave Filoni did with Rebels, the Clone Wars, hell, everything, and even Ahsoka. Like, hey, I like things that the expanded universe had. Just use that, bring it to the forefront, shine it up, make it new for new kids. What is Kathleen's big fuck up?
You know something? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think sometimes what happens, people get addicted to power. They like power, right? Mm-hmm. They like to be able to make decisions. They like people to know they made those decisions. And I think somewhere along the way, that's what happened with Star Wars. It was a huge pissing contest about this is the way I think it should go.
as a result, we got an inferior product, right? Meanwhile, Dave Filoni was over here in his quiet little corner, just making Clone Wars, making Rebels, arguably some of the best Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
To the point where they pretty much, like, between that and The Mandalorian, you have some of the best Star Wars we've had since, you know, the original trilogy.
Facts.
I still argue that The Mandalorian should have just been Boba Fett.
No,
because I think Boba Fett is an overrated character. Incoming hot take.
What? I understand your confusion when it comes down to the love of the one and original Mandalorian himself. But I will allow you to continue with your blasphemy, sir. You're not that far from a sword like that. He's a cool guy, okay?
How is he cool?
He has a blaster and a rocket on his back. I really wish it got more complicated than that.
Dog, I never understood how Boba Fett became so cool, right? Like, he shows up in Empire Strikes Back. He says, like, two words. He trails Han Solo. All right, fine.
Robot chicken.
Hold on. No, I'm not done yet. Because then my man shows up in Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
He went out like a sucker.
Okay, we all know Han Solo is secretly force sensitive. So, like, don't do that.
No, he's not. Han Solo isn't force sensitive, dog.
That's not what the Lucas cut tells me. We all saw his head move.
That's not, he's not force sensitive. That's dumb. Take that back.
I take it back, but.
So Boba Fett, arguably this cool bounty hunter guy, gets murked by a blind Han Solo swinging wildly to a point where he doesn't do anything. His rocket pack goes off and he gets eaten by the Sarlacc. Bro. You're a fucking clown. He got red shirted, dude. He was a Star Trek red shirt.
Do you not see the genius? Like, George Lucas had the ability to see at least 30 to 40 years in the future, knowing that, yo, dick here, guys. There's gonna be people like Pat Oswalt and Anthony Pink that are unsatisfied with how Boba Fett went out, and thus that's why I'm gonna give, you know, Dave or John the ability to make the Book of Boba, thus continuing the franchise. Like, do you not see the genius of George Lucas in this? It's there, man.
No, I can't, because check this out. The Book of Boba Fett was a terrible show. If not but for the back end Mandalorian season 2.5.
That made it weird. Like, the second you heard a woo-woo, you knew, like, yeah. It's about to get dope. But I think Boba came to prominence because of Robot Chicken. No, it being one of the cultural phenomena of this time, no, entering the zeitgeist, made Boba Fett a cool character. And I think it also did the same reverse for Aquaman. I don't know, Aquaman has always been kind of a joke. But when they made Aquaman a joke on that show, it enters like, guys, and then that's why we have stupid jokes like, so, do you speak to fishes? You have to kind of redeem itself.
I mean, look, dog. There's nothing you can say to change my mind about Boba Fett.
It's okay. Once I have my own child, I will this ideology to them and let them know that...
So he's going to watch... Empire Strikes Back, wow, that guy's really cool.
Yes, he is, son.
And you're going to be like, oh my God, he's like one of the greatest characters ever.
Goddamn right.
And then you're going to watch Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
You're going to watch him get served, yep, by blind Han Solo.
Uh-huh.
Go out like a giant sucker.
See, that's when I introduce the new canon. Like, we all know George Roy went back in time to 1997 and changed Han Solo's head to, you know, him shooting second at the Greedo shot first. And then I'm also going to introduce him to the Book of Boba. Don't understand how my son is going to find the first four episodes to be awesome. Like, I kind of do. But, you know, like, I'm just going to force feed them.
The fact that you have to plan to amend the viewing of the movie, that's problematic, dog.
Hey, this is my sandbox, okay? This is how I view Star Wars. I'm gonna make my son think he's awesome, cool. Or maybe I'm just, like, introduce him to The Mandalorian. And, like that's how Boba Fett should be, son. So, like, try to see Boba Fett through that lens. Look at him. He has a knee cannon. That's cool. Come on, knee cannons are fucking awesome.
Regardless. I'm going to let him watch. I'm going to sit and watch episodes 4, 5, and 6, 1, 2, and 3 with him. And then if he wants to watch anything more than that, I will gladly help facilitate that. I will introduce him to him whatever he wants.
Do you have anything that... I mean, I know you're like, okay, son, you have the Mufasa moment. You know, all that touches their land is awesome. And there you go, the dark side. Is there going to be anything that you're going to say, but son, if I were you, I would not.
No, listen, man. If whatever he gravitates to, that's what we're gonna go, right? Like, he could be like me. I gravitated to the X-Wings. Give me some space battles. Give me some space battles, and I was a happy man. So, you know, I became a huge fan of the X-Wing books, right? Shout out Michael Stackpole and Aaron Alston, a.k.a. the Further Adventures of Wedge Antilles and Company, right? Yes. The only man who has two Death Star kill markers on his X-Wing. Not even Luke Skywalker has that.
No, Luke, we all know Luke is a mass murderer, but continue.
You know? So, if that's what I gravitated to, right? He might watch Star Wars, and he might gravitate towards the bounty hunter and the Mandalorians and all that. Whatever. That's fine. Then I guess you can watch, I'll watch it with him, you know? But then he's going to be like, Dad, I want to get into the more Jedi stuff. Well, that's cool. There's a lot of good Jedi stuff. Or maybe he's into the villains. Maybe he's into, like, Darth Vader and all those guys and wants to see good villains. So I'll show him some stuff on Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we'll just keep it easy, dude. You know? Like, the options are limitless.
You think there's a potential chance, I don't know if it's his blasphemy to you, but he says, Father, oh, Father of mine, I hate this shit. And please, I like to explore the galaxy more than anything with Star Command. What if he chooses Star Trek?
I mean, look, here's the thing. There are certain things that I know there's a potential that he might not like it. I could throw on Iron Man. I could throw on some Marvel shit, right? Some MCU stuff. And he might hate it. He might absolutely not like it at all. Well, then he doesn't like it. I have nothing I can do to change that. You know? Like, I can introduce him to whatever, whenever. If he's into it, great. If not, then he's not. I'm not gonna force him to be into something he's not, you know what I mean? There's entirely too much, like, good stuff out there for me to be trying to force him to be into something that, you know, instead of Star Wars, he might like Harry Potter. Okay, that's cool. Harry Potter's dope. He might think Harry Potter's stupid, might want to read Lord of the Rings. All right, bet. He might think all of that's dumb and be like, dude, just give me The Wire. And I'll be like, bro, you are way too young for The Wire, dog.
Would you sit down with him and watch The Wire at what age would you think The Wire is, like, allowed to be sat upon and watched on?
If it were up to me?
No, we're different, like, stories.
Well, because, you know, Mom might have a word about this. Mm. But if it were up to me, I feel like, I'm only going off of, like, what I did, right? Because I watched a lot of stuff that I probably shouldn't have as a kid, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. You know what I mean? I watched R-rated movies, like, yeah. So I think the thing with, like, stuff like that is The Wire. I might have to wait till he's in high school, like, because it's such. First off, it's slow. It's not like. The kind of R-ratedness of The Wire is different from the R-ratedness of, say, like, Terminator 2. Like Terminator 2 is a R-rated movie, but, like, it's more just, like, because of the violence, it's exciting, right? It's, like, visually cool. Like, you don't need to know what's happening to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The Wire, on the other hand, like, you need to have some concept of the way the world is And at 8 or 9, you just don't have that. There's no way. Like, The Wire, I'd probably wait. But he could be like, hey, we talked about it in school today. I'm like, well, what the hell kind of teacher has y'all talking about The Wire at school? I like this person, but now we have to watch it because now I have to explain it to you.
That sounds like critical race theory.
Yeah.
Like, this shit ain't for 9-year-olds. You need to have some kind of life experience to understand how the system even works.
Yeah. Again, there are certain things that I'm going to introduce him to, mm-hmm. right? If he takes to them, great. If not, that's fine too. But what will not happen, I can't even say this. What I hope doesn't happen is that he allows other kids to tell him what's cool. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's not my fault if your opinion's wrong.
I'm with you right there, brother.
That's kind of where I've been at lately. Like, everyone has their own opinion. It's okay if your opinion is wrong, but you can have it, you know?
I don't disagree with myself a lot at times. And when I find myself in opposition to those who I am not agreeing with, you know, you can either, you know, help them down from that cross that they're on, or you can kind of leave them be there.
I mean, look, I think, I honestly feel like there are so many divergent, like, thoughts and opinions nowadays anyway. Mm-hmm. That, like, it's so hard to really, like, zero in on a true north.
Right. I mean, what right. is that? What is true north now?
There is. True north, man, like, something that everyone, like, it's really hard to zero in on something that everyone universally accepts is good. Right? There's always going to be some divergent voice just to be different. Be like, oh, yeah, Godfather is a great movie. And then there's going to be some clown and be like, Godfather sucks, right? That's just how it is. Like, that's the way society has become in this, like, age of, like, you know, hot takes and social media and shit.
To be contrarian.
Yeah, it's like,
we all say this is the best movie of all time. Well, I want to be the one who disagrees. What's your valid points? And it's always like, literally how I feel. This is my opinion, and I think I saw something better. Like, that's one person's consensus.
I mean, the greatest movie of all time, though. That's such a hard question, right?
Hard, but there are at least 20 that are what you would call.
I'm not answering that question. If someone asks me what the greatest movie of all time is, I'm not answering that question.
It's what is the best movie to you, or technically speaking.
Here's the thing. This is what I feel like most people don't understand. There's a difference between the greatest movie of all time mm-hmm. and your favorite movie of all time.
Right. And
I know that my favorite movies of all time are nowhere near the greatest movies of all time. Top Gun is one of my perennial favorite movies ever. I love it. I will defend it against anyone. I love Top Gun.
Hot take. I've never seen Top Gun, nor will I see Top Gun, because I've already seen Top Gun.
I've already seen Top Gun.
Through the zeitgeist. I know everything about the movie.
But you don't. All right, look. Here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you a story. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you a story. So one of my good friends, Mr. David Field, hell of a drummer. If you're into, like, rock music, go check him out. He's dope. He was just touring with Kate Clover, and his band is called Prima Donna. Just a little plug for him.
Shout out.
So he had never seen Top Gun, right? And he finally watched it. Maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and he's like, I don't get it.
It's the best commercial for the Navy, okay? Why do you not understand that?
Yeah, but it's more than that, dude.
I know it is.
Top Gun, if you've already seen it through osmosis, you're like, even when you watch it, you're not going to be able to give it a fair shake because all of the thoughts and ideas about the movie have been trickled into you through whatever other sources you've seen it through, right?
Yes.
Right? So the I know a big one is the volleyball scene, right? The homoerotic context, right?
Great balls of fire.
What people will have you believing is that these guys are running around playing beach volleyball in short shorts. But if you watch the movie, no one's in shorts.
I think of Great Balls of Fire, You're My Wingman, Goose is Deaf. I know about the Homo Rocco shit as a joke.
Well, it's funny because I also feel like it's interesting because if you play sports back in the day, it's interesting because anytime dudes like showed emotion towards each other, there's going to be someone that comes along and says, that's not how dudes are supposed to be, right?
What does that mean?
If you see that depicted in any way, shape, or form, there's going to be someone that comes along and say that there's a homoerotic context to it. I don't think that's the case. I think you can have healthy relationships with dudes and emote, and it doesn't have to be anything. Just like I feel like you can have healthy relationships with women, and it doesn't have to be anything.
Yes.
But that's just me. Now, as far as Top Gun goes, that F-14 Tomcat is one of the most beautiful planes ever made. One of the coolest pieces of engineering ever. It's dope. And and there's a reason why Danger Zone is so iconic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know the song. You have it. You got to experience it, right? Like it's the reason Top Gun to me is one of the reasons why Tony Scott is Tony fucking Scott. You know what I'm saying?
You tell me that you're putting one Scott brother over the other. You know, Days of Thunder over Robin Hood. Is that what you're trying to say right now?
If you're trying to get me to go on record saying that I think Tony Scott is the better really Scott brother, I think Tony Scott is the better Scott brother.
I mean, God, geez, one of the guys who made one of the Apple commercials. The man made one made Gladiator, the other one made Alien, the other one. How can you compare the two?
Look, here's the thing, right? Ridley Scott is much more prolific, right? His body of work is just huge compared to Tony Scott, right? You got, admittedly, Ridley Scott's his list is just absurd. You know, you got Alien, Blade Runner,
Black Hawk,
Louise, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down,
Matchstick Men. Come on.
But look, I'm gonna just say this:
Napoleon.
After Black Hawk Down, there hasn't been an iconic Tony Scott movie.
So you telling me you didn't like Body of Lies?
I'm just saying. Iconic.
The Last Duel. Last Duel was good, but Last Duel wasn't, you know, Blade Runner.
Personally, for me, I Tony Scott is the better Top Gun, right? You got Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Days of Thunder, True Romance, the only Tarantino scripted film.
Okay, technically, if you want to say, you know, Natural Born Killers with Oliver Stone fucking butchered. But yeah, you can say that.
That the only film that Tarantino gave the blessing for.
Yeah.
Crimson Tide, Enemy of the State, which I would argue was prophetic in its tone for the way that the state and the government monitors the population. You got Man on Fire, bro.
How many Denzel films is this in this catalog?
Well, here's the thing, right? He did Crimson Tide, and then he didn't work with Denzel for another. Oh wait, no, he did Crimson Tide, then he did The Stand, which I think was Denzel.
The Stand?
No, that was another black dude. That was Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, and then
so you had Man Crimson Tide. Yeah, Crimson Tide. You had, and then he didn't work with him for 8 years or 9 years. Then he did Man on Fire, right? Then he did Deja Vu.
Oh, shit.
And then he did Unstoppable.
Okay.
Which unfortunately was his last film.
All right, you know what? It definitely helps elevate your argument.
Now, actually, you know, and I'm gonna have to backtrack. All right, Ridley Scott did The Martian, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. So, I'm still gonna ride with Tony Scott on this. But
Martian might have been his last iconic.
Yeah, Martian is like the perfect film, dude. Like that's actually one of those movies I'm gonna show to Adonis when he's like 5 or 6. And if that doesn't get him hyped for space,
I don't know what will. Like that, or maybe Interstellar.
Yeah, but like
that's a different idea.
Like Interstellar is like dope. Interstellar is phenomenal. The thing about The Martian is like,
and Matt Damon.
The idea that Mark Watney's he's a botanist, dude. He's a plant guy. So the idea that like the hero of the story is a guy who just is good with plants and shit like that, bro. Like I think that's cool, right? Like Interstellar is just dope because like it's ridiculous, but it's very high concept. The Martian, the high concept for The Martian is it's on Mars, but it's essentially a survival story.
Yeah, it can take place in wilderness
everywhere. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. We're getting sidetracked. Also, Tony Scott, Ridley Scott. If you looked at a Ridley Scott film, would you be able to tell that it was a Ridley Scott film? I don't know.
What? No. Overall, really pretty.
I know for goddamn sure, if you put on a Tony Scott film that you had never seen, you'd be like, oh. That's Tony fucking Scott.
Yeah, you can see the grit. You can see the grittiness in the film. Like everything, every scene feels as if like it's they cranked up the temperature 7 degrees. And it's kind of humid.
Oh yeah, dude. I feel like in every Tony Scott movie, everyone's sweaty. It's great.
Yo, like I never seen a Tony like obviously Crimson Tide takes place in a submarine. They're sweating like a motherfucker, but. They can be in Antarctica in the Tony Scott movie. It's like, yo, crank up the humidity a little bit. Like, give me that deja vu feel.
Also, and then other just like meta context here. Like the people that were inspired by Tony Scott, you can't look at a Michael Bay film and not realize that Michael Bay was hugely inspired by Tony Scott.
Man, dead like a fireworks.
I think Michael Bay is one of the greatest directors of our time. Quote me on that. Oh, I'm just saying. That's where I stand on it. Where do you land? I mean, because like, there's no wrong answer here.
No, in terms of like great director, my stance hasn't changed since I was fucking 7. It's Quentin. Just like you, I didn't have a lot of restrictions when it came down to watching television programs. Shout out to the outside noises. But yeah, I didn't have a lot of restrictions when it came down to my entertainment. My mom allowed me to basically watch anything I wanted to. So at an early age, I watched Pulp Fiction. And ever since then, I've been a really big fan of his. I know it's a lot of style over substance. This here year has been very interesting, for me at least, and a lot of us in this here industry. You know, we got the actors at the house, got the writers at the house, and potentially more and more people
at
the house.
You got the PAs at the house, you got the camera people at the house,
yep.
You got the grips, the electricians at the house, you got the audio soup at the house, you got the VFX people at the house. Only people who's not at the house are the goddamn producers who are still making that money.
Why are we at the house?
That's a good question. I mean, that's a really good question. Yeah, I know we're striking. But I feel like now that makes it the opportunity for all of these below-the-line people to get out there and do their own shit.
I concur.
I know you got a project that's cooking.
Legend has to have a project cooking. I don't know if I want to reveal way too much about it, but legend has it, I'm out here helping my good man put together a film project. Hopefully I can have something with my name somewhere, you know, possibly like above a line.
Now, you know what would be dope?
We'll be dope.
Talk about this offline. You should pitch to your boy to have your man, Clint, appear in this other project that you're working on. For those of you who don't know,
don't do this to me.
The host of Capeless Heroes.
Don't do it to me.
One, Benji the Great, has been working on a project known as Clint for the better part of a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Better part 10.
I mean, hey, dude, I only known about it for two, so that's what we're going with.
Oh, how dare you bring in my first child? Yes,
so,
I will do it now.
Man, if you let me do the preamble and then you can speak about it however you need to. This man, Benji the Great, has been working on Clint for the better part of 2 years. It's a passion project. It's a passion from the heart. It's a project from the heart. And, you know, what better way to get it cracking is to have Clint have a cameo in the project that you are working in above the line capacity. You know what I'm talking about?
Believe in miracles, man. Believe in miracles.
Anything is possible. Quote that, Kevin Garnett.
Hopefully. All I'm going to say on the subject of Clint would be in the same vein as one of the greatest procrastinators of our generation.
Don't hang your hat on that, dog.
I'm just going to say, look out for Detox.
Oh, yeah.
We already got a few people who have been looking at it, fingers crossed, toes and all that jazz, and those shooting stars and lucky clovers and red balloons, and we're going to get it made done. Man, if I had like $1 million, I'll be out here making all of our projects. You know that's all I want to do right now.
A million?
Hell yes, because I'm under the assumption that our projects aren't that expensive to get off the ground.
I mean, look, dog. We'll keep it real. We'll keep it 130%, dog. We'll keep it 135%. If I had $1 million, I don't even want to talk about $1 million. That's banging out literally half a dozen short films. Easy.
Yes.
With money left over for an animated project.
A web series.
I mean, dog, what are we talking about here, right?
Yeah, start. So I go back to that question from earlier. What the fuck are we doing at the house? I think this is the perfect time, the perfect opportunity for us in the creative realm. In Hollyweird, in Austin, Texas, in New York.
In Hollywood, dog.
India as well. Hell, Seattle. Hell, Ohio. Everywhere, anywhere. I watch 1,000,003 movies all the time. I realize they make them everywhere. And I know right now we're all at the house. So everywhere, anywhere, across the world, I'm speaking to at least 8 billion people potentially right now. Because, you know, Capus is, on the rise. I say we all get out there in the world and start producing, start writing, start directing. No, take advantage of the capitalist economy. Capitalize on your own. Profiteer. Make movies, make songs, dance and sing.
Make movies, make songs, get money.
Feed your kids.
I can't finish the end of that. This is a family show.
Is it a family show?
It's a family show,
though. Define the word family, because, you know, my favorite family film of all time might be Boogie Nights. So, let's, you
Wait,
know.
Your favorite family film is what?
One of my favorite family films of all time is Boogie Nights. If you watch the movie through a different lens, you know one thing only. It's about film. It's about family. It's about change. If you see anything else in the background, be my guest.
It sounded like you just described the Fast and Furious movie, dog.
I don't understand how one can defeat gravity so many times, nor can one fight off 20 people with regular human strength and then fall into a giant vat of water with no injuries whatsoever. Logic escapes me at 9. I didn't see 10.
I don't even know what to say, man. I'm flabbergasted. I don't even know what to say. Because I love the Fast and Furious movies. I don't know that I'll introduce my son to them before he's, like, ready to drive.
you're a lover of the whole franchise. So you sitting down watching all of them, or you sitting down like watching certain?
We'll probably watch up to 7, because in my mind, that's when the movies kind of like, that's when they pretty much, that's when the story kind of ran its course, right? Paul Walker died, they finished off 7, and then ever since then, they've just been like, it's just been like random adventure after random adventure that like doesn't really mean anything.
When did they fight the submarine?
8.
Yeah, 8 is when that just confused me a lot. I mean, shout out to getting checks. Shout out to getting a phone call from Vin Diesel once a year and saying, hey, you want to kick it on set for 8 months and define gravity? Sure.
Dog, I call, I don't know if I should say this, but I call him the Chin. Chin Diesel. Because I can't put out the secret. I can't put out the trade secret yet.
Oh, shit. I guess I have, I don't know, well, you're going to spill tea or spill beer or whatever may be the case, but that is a conversation that me and my great man are going to have offline. Anthony, if they want to find you on the good old-fashioned internet thing, Jake, where can they find you?
College boy. I'm on Instagram, at notthatdude. I'm on Twitter, at notthatdude. You switch the zero, the O's for zeros. You can find me on Reddit at NotHatDude. Yeah, man. You could send me, look, you could send me a tape of airplanes. You could hit me on the smoke signal. You could holler at your boy on the two-way. You know what I mean? I still got the two-way active. So you can hit me on the Nextel chirper.
This man going old school.
You know, like I still got the T-Mobile Sidekick somewhere in the garage.
Oh, hit him on AIM.
Oh, AIM, dog? Nah, the AIM. I don't want to dredge up those old memories.
No way, messages for you, I see. Well,
oh man, the kids these days will never know.
It was a glorious time, glorious day.
They'll never know, man.
Dude,
those are the days.
We're not going to let the kids know how ruthless things were back in the good old, at least, what?
But enough about me, sir. Really fast. We can't go, we can't peace out without you telling us where we can find you on the social.
Oh, you can't find me on the social medias. But you will find the podcast in your feed soon. And I'm thinking about making a small transition over to the Tube of a Ube. We're going to start uploading these here episodes on the Tube of a Ube and see if things go well there. And eventually, we might get to the point where we're seeing faces.
I see you out here in the street, dog, making moves.
We're upgrading the show. We're getting to a point where, you know, in fact, we're not upgrading the show. I'm motherfucking back. I moved a year ago, like I said in the last episode. Ain't been feeling good mentally. Ain't been feeling good physically. And then I realized, man, I gotta do what the greatest rapper of all time motherfucking do. I gotta keep dealing. So bringing back the podcast.
Who's the greatest rapper of all time?
Pusha T.
Damn, dog.
So we're bringing it back.
That's not what I expected at all.
Well, that's what you got. I know what you're thinking. I know what you want. I know what you're thinking in your heart.
No, you don't. I mean, my greatest rapper of all time is not your greatest rapper of all time. I know that.
Who's your favorite rapper of all time?
Tupac.
Can you please drop a theory on us real quick?
I can't do it yet, bro. I need to cook it out first.
It's
an idea, but I need to build it out first. And then when I do, I will gladly come and break it down for you.
Well, goddamn, as soon as this, somebody's coming back to the show.
Gladly, dude.
Well, I thank you, Anthony, for coming on the show. I want you all to know the return is back. New episodes will be dropping on Tuesday. I'm not saying every Tuesday, but I'm saying on Tuesdays. We got some awesome people on the lineup. Got some awesome, fantastic topics. More to come.
See you next Tuesday, dog.
Thank you so very much. If you don't mind, asking me to be in play right now. Yeah. Long days and pleasant nights.
Hey guys. So by now, you're probably an avid listener, and you're probably wondering how Benji makes Capeless Heroes. Well, he uses Anchor. It's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. And if you want to support the podcast, go to anchor.fm/capelessheroes and click on support.